got you for Romans 9. Mr. Bob, you said you had a question.
I'll ask it later. After the class.
No. That's irrelevant. I don't remember. I don't think we got very far yesterday. Verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. The children of the promise are counted for the seed. And now we go into the great example. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebecca also be conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, having neither done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Who has said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau was the eldest. Even from the beginning, Jacob stole his birthright. And yet it says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, before they were born. What does that mean to you and I? It's Christ in you have I loved. Of Gary am I hated. Doesn't matter what condition your flesh is, what condition, how many good things you've done, it's always the same. God not only doesn't love us, he hates us. But he's provided a system whereby his own right arm has gotten him the victory, his own seed. So it's Christ in you that he loves. You he hates. You've got to wrap your mind around that some way, because it'll destroy your fairy tale ideals about what religion is and what your purpose is and what you should be doing. What's your purpose in life? It's the same basic questions you asked as a little kid. Why am I here? Where did I come from? What is my purpose? Then you find out you don't like it very much. I certainly didn't like it.
That word election just rings loud to me. You know, puts it all on God, that nothing I've ever done or think of doing by his.
Well, the election is, it's, the election is the seed. All right, let's go to John, chapter 1. The famous introduction. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. This is the operative verse. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That settles it all. You can't do anything about it by the will of man. You can't do anything about it by the will of the flesh. You can't make all kinds of sincere, but yet it's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so it's all, every man has an equal opportunity. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Jesus Christ in you have I loved, but Harry have I hated.
This verse, I've never heard it this way before, about that all men through him might believe. If you don't believe in any other arena except through
him. Yeah, and this isn't about what, you know, the scripture that says, no man cometh to the Father but by me, that's not a moral option, that's an eternal fact. It's because he is the gateway to eternity, and there's no other gateway. But we make it into, well, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to hell. Well, that's just goofy. Everybody understand that?
Talk about that part where it says, as many as received him, because that's where I think of evangelism comes from.
Yeah, because they say you have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior.
Have you received him?
All men have received him. That's what happened at Pentecost. To them he gave the power, the dunamis, the ability to become the children of God, the true children of God. But because of his humility, he cannot violate what is going on in the temple. You have to voluntarily empty.
Yeah, all have received him, and the ministry of John was that of repentance.
Right.
The circle.
It's the only thing, you know, that's it. So all these little... It still gets me. I went to lunch with Nick yesterday, and he
brought it up, and I had
the four spiritual laws and the little argument, you know, we talked about. There's a great gulf, and then the cross is laid over the gulf, so you walk across the cross to get to the other side, so you don't have to go down to the pit. Yes, you do. He is resurrected. Anyway, go back to Romans. Verse 16 of Romans 9. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And again, another example, another parable of this is shown in Pharaoh. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now, even, you know, the whole idea of Pharaoh, it was God that hardened his heart. The whole idea of all the crap and that you still do and all your little sweet ideas, it's God that has done it. So that you can get out of yourself, finally. But the moment you have sweet ideas or you have all these little plans, and this is what I'm going to do next, and this is how I'm going to conduct my life, and this blah, 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 then you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. Because he has to cause you to fail or to come to sorrow. And you know, these two scriptures in Isaiah that, you know, walk in the light of the sparks that you have kindled, and you shall lie down in sorrow. Or you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. You found the hope of your own hand, therefore you were not grieved. So you have to go through it again and again and again and again and again. And that is the long suffering. That's why we account the long suffering of Jesus as salvation. He's put a million obstacles in your path from the very beginning. But you bought the lie of self-realization, so you obstinately, determinedly forged on ahead. So you had to fail in an infinite number of situations, so you can finally come to this place where you have the inability to bring something to pass. And when that happens, then by definition, you are of the poor to whom God sent his Son. But you must see in your own life, even since you became a believer, how you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. Right, Gary?
It's a little different.
I figured you would.
Well, you know, on the one hand, you said God causes all things to take place, so I assume that means all the stuff that even my mind conjures up comes from God. But it's all to the end of getting to the end. Without all that stuff happening and me being able to find the end, I couldn't repent. I would still think I could do something.
Well, again, my prayer is that you have truly found the end.
Well, I find it over and over. Everywhere I go, I find the end. There's no end to the end. It's like that. To me, repentance is required at each of those points.
Well, there's something that you think that right now that you still need to find the end to?
I'm sure there is.
Like what?
I don't have anything in mind. But if I'm motivated to go in that direction, I'll find the end and repent.
But my question
to
you is...
Then it's an experience that I have knowledge of. It's not something that somebody's...
I understand, but you've already had 50 million times experience of that knowledge. Why do you want to have it again?
Well, I don't know that I want to. That's what I said at the beginning, that I think God is, you know, God.
But you're saying that by saying that, you're saying God is justifying your rebellion.
I don't know that I'm saying that. Could be. But to me, if otherwise, I don't know, what are you perfected and you're just surfing? I don't
know. No, but you come to the point, again, that's why in ancient times, men had to live to be 900 plus years old so they could come to the end of everything. But you've had 35 years now preaching about the end. And you've acknowledged the jillion times that you've seen the end in all things. You did it just when we spent the whole 8 months on the book of Ecclesiastes. So my point to you is you can go to war with your mind now. And you don't have to go through all of that crap again. That's why... We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in these high places of our mind. and you can confess that the emptiness and vanity of all human effort, but then continue to say, well, wait a minute, this one might work, then that's just...
Yeah, I don't really think I'd do that. I you know, if I'm inclined to take off in some direction, I already know what's going to happen. So I don't have to go there because I can repent before.
You can repent instantly.
Yeah, and that's, I talked about that the other night. That's the only thing we can do is repent quicker than letting our minds.
But we must be able to by now. I think, you know, the kids are something else, but for all of us here, you must be able to stop and look and consider and know with a certainty that all human effort is empty and vain. Especially all my efforts are empty and vain. And all your, I mean, you have to know it individually for yourself. Now, if you don't know that, you know, this probably isn't the place for you. And I'm not trying to kick anybody out at this second. I usually do, but
this is tough.
But you just don't, you don't have to go down that road again. Does that communicate to anybody?
Yeah, part of the thing is that when you project into the future and say, you know, when I do this, then this is going to happen, then that's when you get into the areas where it says, I don't know where it says it, but it's like your thing's too high for you. You know, you're like, you know, and that's the point where, you know, Paul says, God forbid. You know, it's like, that's, you can't like think like, okay, when I sin here in the next 5 minutes, then, you know, then God's going to make it okay. Well, that, you stepped outside of the whole realm of all of that right at that moment. And then you have, like, what you have to do is you repent. And so, you know, just you can look back and say all these things happened to get me to this point. But when you project and say, you know, for the next 15 years when I, you know, do all the crazy stuff that I'm thinking about in my mind right now, then God's going to make it okay. It doesn't really work that way.
That, because that, again, back to the same old, then again, you're saying time is necessary. So there hasn't been repentance. Baptism sealed this. You were buried in baptism. And so every act that's beyond the eternal now is an act of rebellion. If it wasn't, you shouldn't have been baptized. Baptism is buried as all of you. And so you're buried in baptism. But we give so much breath, especially the airy guys, you give so much breath to, well, I'm going to do this good thing over here, but you don't understand that everything else, it isn't partially raised from the dead, from the deadly head wound, it's totally raised from the deadly head wound, and you are the ones that raised it from the dead. Amen?
Yeah, it occurs to me, you know, 99.999% of the time, we don't believe in God. We don't believe in the King of the universe. I mean, we're like a flea on the ass of an elephant trying to direct the elephant. I mean, it's just, you know, that thing about now will I rise up. I mean,
you don't want to hear that.
Well, holy crap. I mean, you know, that's like the turtle under the flat earth is one of these days going to shrug his shoulders. And, I mean, we just... To think that I can do anything is it's just beyond
insanity.
Well, yeah, insanity, making believe, whistling past the graveyard. I mean, it's just gallows humor. I don't know what it is, but it's just,
you know. But the same is true when you get mad at something.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Just,
I'm sorry.
I have some cognitive dissonance.
Step outside, please.
Well, you say all human activity. I think that's ridiculous. Paul was a missionary. He planned his mission.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
He didn't plan anything.
Of course
listen
he did.
Carefully.
He listened, got on a boat and sailed to Cyprus.
Listen carefully. All right. Christ's crucifixion happened in the Jubilee year. That meant it's a time when all of the they had to come back and get their lands back. And that's why the disciples sold their lands, because they thought the end was near. So all of these Jews from all over the world went back to their synagogues in Rome, Ephesus, Corinth. And what happened was, they tried, then now, my God, I can't justify this. And so they asked Paul or Peter or Barnabas or others to come. They never planned anything. They responded to the request to go.
It's a human act. I'm criticizing your category here. You say all human acts. That's nonsense. People act in the Spirit, and that's great.
You think people act in the Spirit? If they act
well,
in the Spirit.
Paul did.
Yeah, but you just did a thing.
Yeah, but I agree.
You just
with
did
it.
A thing there. You changed effort to act.
Well, he said act.
I said, no, said all human effort. Human effort. You didn't say every human act.
Play it back.
Yeah. I think there's a difference.
Okay, is
no,
there any
I think we're
like
arguing semantics.
Sure, but read. We spent 8 months on Ecclesiastes, and that's what's necessary to enter the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. That eighth day defines that. Okay, I have seen the futility of all human effort, and I am now entering this gift of God, this eternal life. And therein I remain. And you then, hopefully, as we studied the other day, you can hear the seventh angel sound in your own head, and you see the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no more. There's no need for time, therefore there's no need for human effort or human acts or anything else. That's what he's waiting for 2,000 years. When he said it's finished, he meant it. Cosmically finished.
So why did Paul do anything?
Out of love. He saw the long suffering of the people that had come to the understanding of Christ while they were at Pentecost. And they requested that he come. But you forget that Paul didn't write a letter for 21 years. Paul didn't go anywhere for 21 years. Because he was determined to speak of nothing until it had been wrought in him by Christ Jesus, so he too could say, the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no more in me. And it was simply he understood the weakness. So out of love, he went to Ephesus. He went to Corinth. He went to Athens. But his predicate was always finished work. He never believed that what he was doing was important.
Yeah, like after his conversion, I think I've been called to be the lead apostle of all time. So I will do these great things.
Here's my idea. If I could understand anything about Paul based on my experience, if I were Paul, it would be shit. Another request from another bunch of idiots, and now I've got to stop doing what I'm doing, and I've got to pack, and I've got to go over there, and I've got to lay down my life for those idiots. And human effort in that would be to not do it. Human effort would be to stay and continue with my study of the Word or
somehow
whatever.
I don't think
it was.
You've captured Paul.
No, I think I have. I think I have.
Well, it's whenever you're thinking about yourself that whatever you're doing is evil. That's the thing. If you're not thinking about yourself, then you're just...
If Pete played Paul, he'd say, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
I think we're straining in an ad and swallowing camels here.
Oh, we won't go.
If it were Kevin, he'd say, have you looked at my website?
Kevin?
I'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.
this is a real interesting distinction, though, this fine line between effort and planning and responding. Responding is not planning. Responding is what we do. If we sit around and conjure it up and make up our own agendas as to how we're going to accomplish a goal, that's not the same thing.
Let me ask you, it's what we talked about yesterday. It's finished. Who would believe that? Every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus is Lord. Who would believe that? You've been perfected by one offering. How could you possibly believe that? You own all things. How could you possibly? All things exist for your sake. How could you possibly understand that? You've been perfected by forever, by one offering. So, you can stay in that place in eternity and operate by faith, which worketh by love, or you can return to time and space and strain it in that and swallow a camel. It's not up to me to try to convince you that all human effort is vanity. I will speak it. If you hear it, you will hear it. If you won't, you won't. But the only thing I would ask you to do is consider it carefully. Not from an intellectual standpoint, but from a reality gut level standpoint, so that whatever you're considering is something that isn't worked out in you, not worked, whether it's worked out in Paul. You can read Paul's writings and you can know with a certainty that he believed it was finished. He believed that the baptism certified that flesh is no more to be tested. That he had been perfected by one offer. But you can, again, strain at gnats and swallow camels. The predicate of the mystery of God is out of time. That's how you look at life. If you look at life in time and then you narrow your own boundary, you can prove anything. We made a lot of progress today again, didn't we?
It's our goal.
Anybody have any other remarks? Mr. Bojo? You're doing something. All right. Mr. Adams?
Yes, sir.
Any other response? You don't have to. I'm not trying to debate you. You'd win. Take it, big guy.